For over 6 years, Hank Thorpe hosted All of the Above Radio, the most intelligent, honest, and eclectic combo of music and talk that you never heard. But the more things change, the more things stay the same. Hank is back with a new version of the old scene. No more music, no more time constraints, but he still has great stories, great interviews, and more passion than a novel with Fabio on the cover. Once upon a time, Hank Thorpe was your bastion of good music, good talk, and full escapism. Now, Hank is your bastion for punchlines, passion, and perspective. Hank Thorpe, your former, present, and future favorite podcast host, presents all new, all different, but still, All of the Above.
I've done it. I swear to you, I have done it. Not only have I completed the most detailed list I could ever imagine, but I've also created no less than 2 episodes of content for you in the next couple weeks. Welcome to All New, All Different, All of the Above. New version of the old scene. My name is Hank.
Hey, how you doing?
You can find me on facebook.com/allofthe above radio, or just my name, HANKTHORPE. Hey, how you doing? You can send me an email if you want to start the discussion, whatever the discussion you feel like starting, or keep it on topic, that's up to you. allofthe above radio@gmail.com, or THEHRT3@gmail.com. That's where you would send your PayPal donations, by the way. I have no shame. I'll just let you know I'm still taking those donations. And always will. Sure, I'm not paying for a wedding anymore, but you could always build a savings account back up. So as you guys know, actually, we've already passed one of my big anniversaries. We're getting close to another. They are very, very close to each other, the way Father Time tends to do these things. I actually am now, as of January 24th, I have officially lived in the state of Texas for 19 years, and it will be March 17th, in just a few short weeks, that I will have been in the restaurant industry for 19 years. So, for those of you who didn't listen to All of the Above Radio or don't know this version of the story, when I was 18 years old, I wanted to do 3 things for some amount of time. I wanted to be a massage therapist, a bartender, and a barber. And as life would play out, I have been able to fulfill 2 out of those 3. One of those I don't know that I have a steady enough hand to do, especially as intricately as people like their hair to be designed. And that's more schooling to go through. I think I'm done with that. But I got hired, but I liked the idea of all 3 of those jobs having some level of an interesting interaction with people. And to say that I've had an interesting interaction with people thanks to my jobs would be a bit of an understatement. And we've had this discussion before. Most recently that I can think of is during the book review episode I did over the summer, alltheaboveradio.com, where I talked about the fact that every now and then I look in the mirror and kind of have a little bit of hate for myself that I am still in the service industry, that I'm still in the restaurant business, because countless people would tell you that it's not a real job. And my my personal hope for myself that came from a young version of me thinking that I would be very important to this world. Now, am I important to the people around me? For sure. Am I a little bit of sanity for a bunch of people that I serve drinks to? Sure. So, more often than not, I try to lay my head on that proverbial pillow and be okay. But it's a very interesting world that I have chosen to be in, whether it was as massage therapist or as bartender, or would have been as barber, dealing with and taking care of people on a regular day-to-day basis. And there are definitely days, the pandemic most notably, where for, what was it, maybe 3 months in 2020, where we had no people interaction inside the bar that I work at. We flipped fully to-go food and drink only. I'll tell you what, it was pretty amazing. 2020 was a pretty good year for me. I would still show up to work. I was still getting paid. So I got to have some human interaction when I was doing curbside drop-off to people and chatting with people. But I didn't have to deal with drunk idiots doing, being, and saying the things I can't stand. So it was actually kind of a nice break, kind of a nice pace setter. Because to say that you can be absolutely overwhelmed or burnt out by the people you take care of, the people that you care for, the people that sometimes care for you, sometimes marginalize you, to say that you can get burnt out by that is 100% true. And so, throughout my time on All of the Above Radio, I've come to you with the occasional issue from my bar and restaurant guests, stories, and my coworkers, from stories that were just so interesting that I, of course, protected the identity of the person I was trashing or highlighting. It's been both. But I had to give you the stories. And I thought about it, and this has been brewing now for, I want to say, a few months. I finally decided one day, and if you go to, I want to say it's Salty Waitress, if you just Google Salty Waitress, there's a gal who is, from what I can tell, is a diner employee of some sort. She answers all people's general questions about restaurant and bar etiquette. Well, I thought it was about time that I got in on that. A few months ago, I decided to just start typing as I used to and still do for show content. I just decided to pull up my phone, turn on Google Docs, and just start typing. And I have started to type out several rules for all of you and all of us to adhere to be better bar and restaurant guests. If you want to be a person who doesn't get talked about in a negative light on shows like All New, All Different, All of the Above, or the Salty Waitress online, what equates to a Q&A or AMA, this is the way to get to it. If you're listening to this right now, you've already made the first step towards better self-awareness. Self-awareness is a better step towards self-awareness. But here I am, and there's a lot of rules. So I'm going to break it up into no less than two shows. Trust me. Once I started typing, my hands didn't stop moving. And then I would go to work, and things would happen. And then I would type some more. And then I would chat with coworkers. And then I would type some more. It's amazing just how many things go on a day-to-day basis that you think really very little about, but there are things that if somebody knew they were... the phrase is, you don't know until you know. Or you didn't know what you didn't know. Or I'm not totally sure what it is. But there are some people that, if you cause them to be aware of their behavior, they actually do analyze their behavior and adjust. Some people actually do that. I'm speaking primarily to them. Or I'm speaking to those people who have friends who are not self-aware enough, but maybe they can get through to them. So, I've broken this up into categories. The official title of this is Rules to Being a Better Guest. Whether it's a bar guest or a restaurant guest, everything kind of flim-flams together at some point or another. Some things will be important to you. Some things will be important to your husband. Some things will be important to your little brother. Some things will be important to your mom or grandmother, depending on the generation they grew up in and the culture they are. At any given point, you as a service industry employee and you as an attendant or as a guest to a bar or restaurant has either witnessed or done one of these things. I'm going to tell you, I will raise my hand in full guilt at some of the things that have happened here. That when I was working, it annoyed the crap out of me, and then I realized I did it. And if this gets good enough feedback, I'll actually flip the coin and do a bit of a how-to on how to be a better server or bartender. Not just because I was a restaurant trainer for a while, but because I've been doing this for a while. And I go out to eat, and I know what people do to be just kind of crappy. We'll get to that at a later date if the feedback is good enough. allofthe above radio@gmail.com. But I've broken this down into three categories: food, drinks, and general. Food is, of course, having to do with the food you eat and the kitchen that prepares it for you. Drinks has to do with, once again, the drinks you consume and the people preparing them for you. And general is really kind of the catch-all. There's going to be a lot of general. And now the general topics can be anything from etiquette to understanding to awareness to whatever. I'm going to read them in long form as close to the way I wrote them as possible. And then if I feel the need to expand on it, I will. If not, I will move on. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read you a food, a drink, and a general until I get to the end, and then it's just going to be a whole bunch more general. So, at any given point, if you feel the need to pause the podcast so that you can point to the person you're sitting next to in the car and be like, oh, you do that, or raise your hand in guilt and say, ah, crap, I do that. Okay. I didn't know that was a thing, but now that I know, I'll try to dial back. Because I repeat, you don't know what you don't know. Or you were doing it but didn't know it was an annoying thing to the people that are taking care of you. So here we go. Without further ado, the rules to being a better guest. Food, rule number one. If you're not feeling the menu or the prices, it's okay to leave. We won't be offended. In fact, I respect it. So my sister-in-law was playing this clip on YouTube for her / our nephew. Not my blood nephew, but my nephew-in-law, I guess. He was a little kid at the time. He might have been four. It's just this real cute children's song that's turned into a video about a duck talking to a tiger or something like that. But this animal, it walks up to a lemonade stand and says, hey, you got any grapes? And the person running the stand says, all I got is this lemonade. So the animal that wants the grapes leaves, cool. Comes back the next day and asks for grapes again. And the person and the animal behind the stand says, nah, still just got lemonade. Fast forward. the person or the animal running the lemonade stand finally says, "Hey, you've been coming in for a couple days. I decided to get some grapes." And of course, as dad jokey as it gets, the animal that wanted the grapes says, "You know, I'm actually in the mood for some lemonade." So, when I tell you, if you're not feeling the menu, it's okay to leave, I think about that story frequently. If you walk into a pizza joint and want a burger, it's okay. If you look at the menu and say, "You know what? I'm not in the mood for this today." I respect that, because the last thing anybody wants to do is try to sell you food you don't want. If you want grapes and all the restaurant has is lemonade, it's okay. Come back on a day where you want lemonade. Really, honestly. I remember a few months ago, I had a guy come in and he said, "I really want a burger and fries." I said, "Well, on the other side of the parking lot, it's just a quick 3-minute drive, is blah, blah." He says, "Nah, man, it's okay." And he got a chicken sandwich with potato chips and looked grouchy. It is kind of funny when you see somebody in their 50s pouting. But I just want to look him dead in the face and be like, "Dude, I told you where to go." Really. Drinks. Number one, understand your surroundings. If you've just walked into a dive bar, don't expect a high-quality cosmopolitan. If you walk into a place with 50 craft beers on tap, don't be surprised if Miller Lite isn't one of those beers on tap. If you're in the suburbs, might be a little hard to find Hennessy, let alone a variety of cognac. Whenever possible, have a fallback drink that you know you like at the ready in places like this. So, my wife actually was at a dive bar outside of Omaha, Nebraska with a college friend. And she called me, or well, she texted me. She texted me, she said, "Okay, so I'm too bougie for this place. What can I drink here?" And they didn't have, and I said, "Do they have any cider?" She says, "No." I said, "Do they have any this?" She said, "No." I said, "Do that." And so we came to the conclusion that she would drink a tequila sunrise. Perfect. Cool. So funny enough, I actually had this problem a few months ago. I went to one of my favorite pubs. They have a huge beer list. I go in there because I want to try the new, interesting, fun beer that I've not heard of yet. And they didn't have anything. The three beers that I asked for, they were out of all three of them. Which, of course, makes me scream inside my head, "Well, then please update your beer list." But then I just panicked and didn't know what to get, and I just ended up sharing a bottle of wine with my wife and her friend. And in that moment, I saw beers that could have been a fallback, and I should have just gone with that, but I panicked and I was disappointed that the place I go to for new interesting beer didn't have any new interesting beer. I was too busy being panicked that I didn't just say, "All right, I'll take this one." Because there was two or three that I could have just fallen back on, or I could have got a glass of Sauvignon Blanc like I sometimes do just as a fallback drink. So I say that to all of you. Know your surroundings and have a backup drink just in case. General. Have you ever heard of the old adage, "If you ask what it costs, you can't afford it"? Now, I don't know what your finances are, so I don't know how true that is. But if you ask what things cost, you, if nothing else, sound cheap or scared or both. Always know that if you ask what something costs, you definitely come off as cheap, and your server is probably profiling you at lightning fast speed. Your service may suffer as a result. And this is something I have done before, and the reason I did it, and the guy actually pulled that exact quote on me. So I've only had that quote happen to me twice. Once when I was 22 years old and I couldn't afford it, I was sitting at Don Shula's Steakhouse with my brother in Tampa, Florida, and little did I know he was going to pay for dinner, But I asked what a glass of red wine cost. And my brother said to me, if you ask, you can't afford it. And then maybe about 2 years ago, I was sitting in a real nice pub-style restaurant with real badass bar food. And I was looking at their whiskey wall, and I asked how much a whiskey cost. And he said to me, if you ask what it costs, you can't afford it. Which he's dead wrong. But what I wanted to know was, and this is the question I should have asked, what size pour? Because if you tell me that you're going to pour me an ounce and a quarter and charge me $16 for Russell's Reserve single barrel, I'm going to laugh at you and say, go F yourself. And they don't, and a bartender doesn't know that I do a similar job, if not the same as them, and understand what a bottle costs and what it should be charged. Because if I'm going to have a drink, I'd like to get my money's worth. It has nothing to do with not being able to afford it. It has everything to do with being able to stretch my tab as far as possible, or stretch my dollars as far as possible. And if you treat me well in the process, I will tip you well. So know that if you ask, we don't know that you can't afford it, but know that you come off cheap and we are deathly afraid of how bad of a tip we're about to get. More on that later. Back to food. As best you can, try the food as the chef intended. Whether it's mom and pop or something completely corporate, somebody spent a lot of time researching and creating the recipe for what you're about to eat. If you don't have dietary restrictions, don't change the food, especially the first time. I am a person, I'm speaking not as a bartender, but as a person who cooks. And a person who likes to cook, and a person who reads books about flavor pairings. And I remember years and years and years ago, I made a really fun black bean and vegetable dish while I was on vacation. I just cooked to try to say thank you to the friends I was staying with. And I put the food in front of him and said, here, enjoy. And before he tasted it, he picked up hot sauce and got ready to start pouring it. I said, wait, don't put any hot sauce on it. You don't know how it tastes. And he was nice enough to try it first and then put hot sauce on it. Okay, fine. If that's what you want to do, okay, fine. But people that care about flavor, or if nothing else, people that are paid to put flavors together, it's a bit of an insult if you start changing things around if you're not allergic to something. If you have a violent reaction to onions, okay, get rid of them. Cool. But if it's just kind of I don't really know what that ingredient is. I don't know if I want it. I work at a pizza joint, as some of you know, and a lot of people will ask me, what's Fontina cheese? And I usually tell people, if I didn't tell you it was in there, you wouldn't know it's there. Because people don't know what it is very frequently, they say no Fontina. And that's kind of just the beginning of it all. So seriously, if you've never been to a place, or if it's your first time trying the dish, try it exactly as is. Now, you're welcome to say, is it spicy? Because if you can't do spicy, cool, fine. I repeat, if you have restrictions, adhere to those. Nobody wants you to be sick or uncomfortable. But if it's just I don't know if I'm going to like that, shut up. Order it as is. And eat it as is before you slather it with any type of sauce or seasoning. And this is me too, because I love salt. I salt almost everything. But I do taste things first. You should too. Drinks. Please refrain from asking your bartender for that amazing drink you had on vacation. So you had a great drink in Baltimore a month ago, and now you got the travel blues. That's not the problem of the bartender. There is a cocktail menu probably sitting right in front of you. Or, like we said earlier, have your fallback. As Crosby, Stills, and Nash once said, if you can't be with the one you love, honey, love the one you're with. Take a look at the menu. See if something looks good. Just give it a try. Especially, because listen, somebody says, oh man, I was on vacation last week. Can you make a Mai Tai? Where were you on vacation? I was in Maui. Do you think a pizza joint in North Dallas, Texas is going to make a Mai Tai the same way somebody does in Maui? Step one, probably not. Step two, even if the ingredients are exactly the same, it's not going to create the same vibe as you sitting on a beach or sitting at a tiki bar in Wailuku. Esther's fair prospect. How you doing? It's not going to give you that same exact feel that you're looking for, and I'm sorry for that. But you're back home. Come on back to reality. It's not so bad. General, read the room, especially on busy nights. Patience is vital. You being hungry should not void you of reality. If you're used to getting a table when you come in on Sunday at 4 o'clock every time, if you suddenly walk in at 7:15 on a Friday, you're gonna have to wait for a table. Don't be angry. It's not the same. Different group of people and a much larger group thereof. If you want well-done steak as opposed to medium, it's going to take longer. You want a beer flight on a busy evening versus just one 16-ounce pint of beer, it's gonna take longer. These are things you gotta pay attention to. If it's a Monday night and it's not busy at your watering hole, ask for a flight. The bartender probably won't give a crap. If you want that well-done steak, just know it takes longer. There isn't a way to manipulate the internal temperature of meat without cooking it longer. It's just not possible. And once again, if you want a table, the exact table you like, I have never worked at a restaurant where people pick the exact same table over and over again. They walk into the restaurant and they point at the exact table they want, or they skip the host stand altogether and sit at the exact table they want. If you know that that's the table you want, you sure better come in on a day where you're pretty sure you're going to get it, because it ain't going to be Friday or Saturday. Food. And this is going back to trying the menu the first time, in a way. The earlier you let somebody know pertinent info, the better. If you're on a time crunch, if you have any dietary issues or religious restrictions, let somebody know as immediately as possible. I want to say it was October. I think it was the end of October. Maybe end of September at this point. We were going to see Weird Al. It was a whole bunch of us. Maybe 8 people at the table. And we sat down at the table and just kind of, we got our drinks leisurely because everybody got there in a nice, timely fashion, except for 2 people that were leaving work a little bit later. So we're sitting there, everybody's having a good time, whatever. We get our appetizers, cool, good time, whatever. And then we order our entree. The next thing you know, one of the people at the table is looking at the clock, and she had the greatest of intentions. She just wanted her husband to get the full experience of the concert. She had the greatest of intentions. She didn't want to miss the opener. But she calls a server over and says, we have a concert to get to. Can you maybe tell the kitchen to hurry our order out? I cannot express to you how much my skin was crawling as a restaurant employee when somebody at my table said that. Because let me make abundantly clear, if you don't tell anybody right at the start that you're on a time crunch, you are SOL. Because if you tell somebody, hey, we have a show to make it to, we're trying to get to this time, what the server will do is they will rush you to order. Or they will take your order all at once and they will time it so that everything works out just fine for you. It's seamless. You never knew you were in a hurry because everything came to you the exact time they put it. Because you know what? Good servers, good bartenders, they have a clock in their head of how long the kitchen normally takes. And they will do that for you. You just got to let them know and don't say two-thirds of, and another one. And this one's off to the side. Don't say, oh, we're in a hurry. As soon as your food hits the table, don't say, we're in a hurry, we want to pay out, and then you sit for another hour and a half. If there's one thing that genuinely burns my muffins is people that say they're in a hurry, pay like they're in a hurry, and rush you like they're in a hurry, and then they sit. And even worse, if they ask for more water as they're sitting, talking, and taking up a table. Back to the start of this, telling people the pertinent information. If you have a dietary restriction, please tell somebody as early as possible. If you tell somebody, I have celiac, I am a vegetarian because of religious beliefs. These are things that people need to know. A few years ago, it was not my table because I would have solved this problem before it even began. But it was a table of, I want to say people of Islamic faith didn't eat pork. And so it was somebody's birthday, so they ordered a piece of chocolate cake. Well, the chocolate cake that we used to serve at the restaurant I work at has candied bacon sitting underneath the ice cream. And the person ate the ice cream and the bacon and then realized it was bacon and 10 points for your religious conviction, ran to the bathroom and made themselves throw up. I cannot make this up. I can't make it up. I wish I could. That could have been solved if somebody said something a little bit earlier. And if you have a good, self-aware server who knows the product. I'm not putting it all on you, the consumer. I'm putting it on you, the server slash bartender, also to know your product. Drinks. If you order a popular drink that isn't on the menu, don't be surprised or offended if the bartender has to Google it. Most bartenders can make an old-fashioned, a martini, whatever. But there's not a lot of bartenders that know how to, on call, make a Vucaré or a layered B-52 shot or an adios motherfucker. Or a sidecar. As much as bartenders could be on TikTok or YouTube or Pinterest learning more of their craft, a lot of them don't. And there's a lot of bartenders that are young, that are brand new, that are fresh into the game, who used to be waiting tables, but they hustled. And so now they're bartenders. I mean, just because somebody works behind the bar doesn't mean they know how to make any of the stuff I just named. Or anything. And by the way, I have been working in restaurants now for 19 years, like I told you. I still don't know how to make a slow gin fizz or a Singapore sling, partly because nobody's asked for them in 30 fucking years. But still, I don't know how to make it. Every time somebody asks for a Mai Tai, I have to look it up. I make it and then I decommit it from my mind because it means nothing to me, with all due respect. General, unless noted by a sign at the door, please do not sit yourself. The host stand goes through a rotation to make sure that every server gets an equal amount of butts in seats. You sitting down changes that rotation. And not to mention, you're just not a rule follower and you're an asshole because of it. Going a step further, if you do sit yourself at a place where you are not to sit yourself, Don't be mad if there's not a menu in front of you. If it's a place where you sit yourself and there's a QR code, I've been to places like that. I went to a Christmas pop-up maybe a year and a half ago where that was the thing. You sat yourself, there's a QR code on the table, you order through your phone, and it mystically comes to your table, to your exact seat. Cool. If that's the wave of the future, no big deal. But places where there's a host stand, where somebody seats you, somebody is rotating the servers, if it's not a place like where I used to work, where every server, it's every person's table. You got to follow the rules. You got to go to the host stand. You got to sit. Or you got to wait for them to sit you. Especially if you try to sit down at a table that's being held for a special group, for a special guest, for a party. You just really wrecked some stuff. Because you had to have that exact table. And some people... This goes back to they don't know what they don't know. Some people just don't know. They walk in the wrong door. They sit down because they think it's the bar area. Okay, no big deal. And they're apologetic about it. We appreciate them. Food. This is kind of restaurant 101, but I need to tell you this. Premium ingredients cost a premium for the restaurant. So what does that mean? It costs a premium for you. If you're a vegan, sorry, you're going to end up paying more. Because using coconut oil to make cheese costs more than milk. If you're a fan of Willet 4-Year versus Bullet Rye, you're going to pay more. Now, so a lot of people understand that concept, but I will never forget this story. This was very early on in my time working at the pizza joint. It was a Sunday brunch shift, and the woman had celiac. And she says, okay, I have a gluten allergy. I need to get a gluten-free pizza. All right, cool. That's going to be a $3 upcharge to change out the crust. And she lost her mind. She says, I don't understand why you're charging me more. I feel like I'm getting a penalty for being sick. Now, she's not necessarily wrong for feeling annoyed and or put out, but Restaurant 101, those of us who are running the restaurant buy the food. We buy it in a raw state, whether it's raw meat or a loaf of bread or eggs or flour or olive oil, and then we turn it into something. We have to pay the person who prepped it. We now have to pay the person that cooks it. We have to pay the person that serves it, and we have to keep the lights on to run the oven, the music, the TV screens, the bartenders, the host. We have to pay people to give you this food. If you walk into a grocery store right now and pick up a cauliflower crust pizza from the freezer section, it probably cost you, we'll call it $12. Already got the cheese on it, already got all the ingredients on it. But if you want somebody to serve it to you, it's going to cost more. And wait, I'll do a little math for you, or at least just a little baby bit of math for you. That woman who freaked out and said, I feel like I'm being penalized for being sick, understand that a 50-pound bag of flour might cost, arbitrary number, $35. So if you were to take $35 into a 50-pound bag of flour, you can probably make, we'll say, 100 pizzas out of that. So already, you've taken, we'll call it $75 for olive oil, salt, water, flour. You've taken all of that and made, we'll just call it 100 pieces. Whatever 100 divided by 75 is. Whatever that is, it's not that much. It's pennies on the dollar. Whereas a gluten-free crust, you have to buy them in a pack. And they already come to to you. They already come to the restaurant, fully formed, fully gluten-free, ready. And we have to store them separately. And they cost $3 a piece. So us charging you $3 for a gluten-free crust, we're actually just breaking even, if not losing money, depending on the toppings you put on it. I wish I could have told her that in a way that she would have understood it, because I have a problem every now and then as a bartender. I want to prove people wrong. And it's not all about proving them wrong. It's about making them understand that they don't understand. But it's also about proving them wrong. And I'm okay with that. I'm totally okay with admitting that. Number four, drinks. Pardon my generalizing, but but every bartender hates making mojitos and strawberry daiquiris and chocolate martinis and anything with coffee. Why? Well, any drink from that group requires extra ingredients from either the server station or the kitchen, and then they require extra cleaning after they've been made. And if there's a blender involved, you now have to use the blender to make things, and you gotta make sure the ice to liquid ratio is right. Those type of drinks are horrible to make, not necessarily because they're horrible to make, but because they're horrible to clean and they completely wreck the flow. Go into a busy restaurant on a Friday night or a Sunday brunch. Watch the bartender who is working the service well, the bartender that is making the drinks for the whole restaurant. You can tell when they are in a good, clean flow versus when a drink showed up on their ticket wall that is hard to make, that it's a recipe they don't remember, that it requires a blender, that it requires breaking mint, that it requires egg white. Any of these type of drinks slow momentum considerably. So if you walk up and say, "Can you make a mojito?" My usual response is, "I don't want to, but I'm going to." And I do it with a smile on my face so that hopefully it lands. General. By the way, we're doing the rules to be a better restaurant / bar guest. If you just tuned in late, which theoretically you didn't. You're listening to a podcast, so you turned it on willingly and didn't just fast forward halfway through. But if you're the other person listening that just walked in or just woke up as your spouse was cleaning or cooking, well, here you are. Welcome in. This is rules to being a better restaurant / bar guest. General, don't sit at a dirty table. Let someone clean it before you sit down. Especially if the host sits you. If it's first come, first serve, that's a different story. You can do the hover, and you can say to somebody, "Oh man, is it okay if we sit here? I just noticed that did they just get up?" You can ask that. "Oh yeah, okay, yeah, we'll be right there. I'll come clean it up for you." But if you sit down at a dirty table, nobody saw you, and you look at me and do the hand motion over the table of, "Can I get a wipe?" I'm going to look you dead in the face and be like, and keep on moving. And truthfully, any good self-aware server or bartender saw that table get up. They saw that bar space get up. They know it needs to be cleaned. You doing the "can I get a wipe" motion over the dirty spot only makes me want you to get dirty elbows. So understand that I know it needs to be done. We know it needs to be done. It's going to get done. And it would have gotten done faster if you weren't being a little insistent about it. Just know that if you sit down, we'll say, "Oh crap, we gotta clean this." You doing the Captain Obvious move, that's not helping you any. I want you to have dirty elbows. Number five, food. If your bartender is standing at the service well for the has been standing at the service well for the last 10 minutes, they have no clue how long your food's going to take. Or more realistically, they don't know where it's at in the hierarchy of every other ticket in the restaurant. Like I said earlier, a good bartender or a good server has a clock in their head as to when food is coming out. But if they've been stuck doing other things, they don't know where your food is at in terms of the rest of the tickets in the restaurant. And that they have not left that spot at the bar or at the service well long enough to check on your food. That's something that I find very funny every now and then is on a Friday night, I usually find myself working the service well. And it can be, I am elbows deep in tickets, making drinks, pouring beers, pouring wine, making old fashions just to churn them out. And you see that I haven't moved anywhere other than to make the drinks and put them on the well to be taken away. And people have still had the nerve to say to me, "Where's my food?" Well, I have absolutely no fucking idea. Thanks for asking. And it's even worse if I'm the person that didn't put your food in to begin with. If I put your food in, I can kind of look at a clock and think, oh, okay, maybe I should check on that. But if I haven't moved, I don't know. And I said this earlier, but being hungry shouldn't void you of reality. Because I'm obviously not cooking it. And I'm obviously not the food runner who's going to walk it out to you. And this goes the same for servers. Servers probably have other tables they're working on or drinks they're taking out. They are probably in some level of a zone also where they don't know where your food is at in the ticket order. So you saying, "Where's my food?" Now, does that create a question mark in our head of, okay, how long has it been since they ordered? Because everybody's, when you're hungry, your definition of when the food needs to come out, of course, is a little bit different. I respect that. But the fact of the matter is, if you, the consumer, never get up and look to see what the rest of the restaurant looks like, to see how busy it is, to see how full it is, you're an asshole. If you think you're the only person in the restaurant who ordered food, you're stupid. That's just the truth. Your lack of awareness is disturbing. That's just the truth. And I can't tell you how many times I've wanted to look in people and say, "Hey man, have you looked to see how many people are in here right now? We're on an hour and a half wait. We just finished making drinks for a group of 20 people. And if they ordered food before you, that's another 8 minutes to 10 minutes to 12 minutes your food is going to take. I'll do what I can to make sure I get your order in before those big groups. But after I put it in, it's lost in the hierarchy of the tickets. And if I've been busy doing other things, I have no idea where it is." I repeat, it does create that sense of question as to how long it's been and has it been too long. But if I'm standing in one place, I don't know. Your server goes double for them. They don't know. And side note, by the way, this is in the food category, but I just wanted to make sure it's all kind of fitting in the same little window here about you being more aware. If you, in the same way that I'm standing at the service well and you ask me, "Where's your food?" I don't know. You getting a quote from the host about how long the wait is, and you asking them, "Where's our table? It's been 20 minutes. If people are still getting up, or if people are still eating and haven't got up from the table that you're supposed to sit at, what's the host going to do? Nothing. And I get it, you're hungry, but please be more self-aware. I get it, you've got kids that are running around like idiots. Do more with them. I give them a coloring book. I don't know. Put them in the car. Who knows? I don't know what to tell you. But don't let being hungry get in the way of you looking around and saying, "Oh, this place is really busy. I'm not the only one. Drinks. Telling me or any bartender or any server for that matter, if you tell a bartender to make your drink strong, you are essentially guaranteeing that your drink is going to be exactly the same as it was going to be, if not less. And if you tell the server, oh man, tell the bartender to hook it up a little bit, the exact same thing's going to happen. You're getting the exact amount you were going to get, if not less. You having a bad day means nothing to me when it comes down to the cost of the liquor I am pouring. And you promising that you're going to tip me better does equally nothing to the cost of the liquor I am pouring. More restaurant 101 for you. As a bar manager, you buy your beer, your alcohol, your wine, and there are math equations. You can find them on Google all over the place. I did. You should too. There are math equations that show exactly what every single ounce of liquor costs per bottle. If you gave me just a quick piece of scratch paper, I could tell you exactly what should be charged for a bottle of Crown Royal if you're going to pour it 1 ounce, an ounce and a half, or 2 ounces. I can tell you exactly what to charge so that you can make whatever desired profit on the bottle. And if you're trying to make... And most restaurants are looking to get roughly 3 times, if not 3.5 times, the cost of the bottle to make a profit on it. And so every one of those ounces that is being poured can be accounted for, can be measured, can be quantified in cost. And this is very simple math here. If you're pouring more than you're getting paid for, you're running a crap business. If you want the lights to stay on, quit telling the bartender to hook it up. I don't give a crap if you had a bad day. Oh boy, here we go. General, for goodness sakes, we are not your kid's babysitter. It is your responsibility to keep children engaged or quiet or seated. Please prevent them from running or making noise. You as the parent may very well be accustomed to how loud or rambunctious the kid is, but the people around you are not. And there's a very good chance that you have just taken your family, it doesn't matter where, there's a very good chance you've taken your family to a restaurant where kids are okay to have there because there's a kid's menu, but there's no playground. The most any restaurant is required to do is the kid's menu with the crayons. That's all they're really required to do. If they've got Wi-Fi so you can pop your tablet in front of the kid's face, okay, you're welcome. But anything past that, it is up to you, the parent. And it is very frequent and really depressing that I see so many parents sit down with a drink in front of them and converse with other parents or their friends and let servers and bartenders be the caretakers for the kids. And I remember one day having a conversation with a really good friend who was the caretaker for her 3 nieces, very young nieces. And I remember she had a meltdown-style conversation with me about it, talking about how exasperated kids make you and how delicious a margarita tastes if you're able to take them out. And I understand that it takes a village to raise a child, but that's not part of the description of what a server or a bartender does. And even if your kid is loud and rambunctious and all of that, and you try to put it on the shoulders of the server/bartender, which is unfair. It's even more unfair to put that on the people that have also come to escape something. Maybe people don't have kids for that reason, or maybe people drop their kids off with their mother-in-law so that they can have quiet time and not listen to kids. And now your child is being loud or being nutty or climbing on the booth or starting conversations with the table next to him. And so I tell you this story because this is as honest a story as I can tell you. This was the first nice dinner I went on as a married person. My wife and I were in Montana for a wedding, and we went to this really nice steakhouse in the hotel where the wedding was taking place the next night. And we sit down, we get some drinks, we order some really nice appetizers. It's a very expensive place, by the way. And I admit to having a bit of an auditory issue or a sensory issue where noises that are outside of ambient noise bother me. I have been a bartender now for 19 years. The sound of random conversations, the sound of music, the sound of tickets printing, none of it affects me. It's all just part of the background. But if somebody's voice is a little bit louder than the rest of the table, if I hear a metal ramekin drop to the ground, if I hear glass break, all of that perks my attention. And sitting at this really nice restaurant with my then new wife, there was a table maybe five tables down. There was a young kid, maybe three, maybe younger than three, who was clanking their fork to a plate. And it was enough of a noise that it was interrupting me being able to listen to my wife talk. And I just kind of looked over, waiting to see the parent kind of, you know, take the fork away and be like, okay, that's enough. That's enough, little Johnny. Thank you. That was a very sweet song you just played. No. And this might have been one of those parents who was basking in the fact that they were at a nice place. But unfortunately, your self-awareness is garbage. It is. I used to have a blanket dislike for children that made noise or that ran in restaurants, but I kind of came to the realization that kids are just kids. Parents are the issue. I'm telling you this, dead to all of your faces. Parents are the issue. If your kid doesn't behave, it's on you. Some of my favorite parents I have seen is when a baby starts crying endlessly. Sure, you pick up the baby and you kind of rock them a little bit at the table, see if that works. And if that kid is still acting up, the best parents I've seen get up with the kid and walk outside. And I'm so grateful for that. Because I think about the people all around that table whose conversation is now being derailed because of the noise. And I don't say this much, but that dining experience at that nice steakhouse, if I'm at a burger joint or a pizza joint and I hear kids clanking forks to plates, it'll be annoying, but it's not that big a deal. And here's where I drop a... If I'm spending steakhouse prices, I don't want the noise of a child interrupting my meal. I attach a steakhouse with calming music and white tablecloths and long apron service and very civil, enjoyable conversation and enjoyable drinks and enjoyable food, not kids. And I'm not even going to lie, it really, really, really took away from my experience. And I put that on the parents. Solely on the parents. And you know what the worst part is? I would have been the asshole if I said, hey, can we move? I don't want to hear that anymore. I would have looked like the jerk who hates kids. I don't hate kids. I hate parents that don't parent their kids. allofthebove.radio@gmail.com. There's a part two to this conversation before we get back to the next food rule. To show you that I am not prejudiced towards kids, I need to make abundantly clear to every adult that is a restaurant and bar guest to get off your fucking phone. Finish your phone conversation outside. Finish it in the car. Finish it outside the door. I don't care. Don't walk in on the phone and expect a bartender or a server to pleasantly or offer you anything. If you sit down at the bar and you're on your phone, the first thing I'm going to do is walk away. I might put a glass of water in front of you, but if you try to do the, hold on a second, hey, can I get a glass of Chardonnay? Sorry about that. I just had to order something real quick. No, go fuck yourself. You may proceed to fuck yourself with a chainsaw. And you know what's worse? This whole conversation about people and their phones. Remember how I was talking about sensory issues? The thing that's even worse than people just being on their phones and not acknowledging that A, they are loud to the world around them or to the person that's trying to get them something is people that are watching YouTube without AirPods in or on a FaceTime call. Here's the thing about FaceTime or speakerphone conversations is that you are now battling. There is no cell phone in the world. No cell phone provider has made this phone yet. A phone that is so good that you can hear it over the top of restaurant music and a restaurant conversation. Every single person that's watching YouTube or on FaceTime has their volume on their phone all the way up. You're an asshole. Put some AirPods in or go outside. I don't apologize for getting heated. If there is one thing in this world that bothers me is just how much time people spend on their phones and not being present. Food. And I like this one. Understand that there is a fine line between helpful and exhausting questions. If you looked at the menu and said, hey, what's EVO? Or what's EVOO? Or what's yellow chartreuse? I'm okay with those questions. EVOO is just the Rachel Ray way of saying extra virgin olive oil. Chartreuse is a floral, bright yellow botanical liqueur. Repeat after me, redundant. Now, if your server or bartender doesn't get to you quick enough, you can Google what EVOO is or what yellow chartreuse is, but it won't necessarily tell you what the product is doing in that drink. So if you want to ask that question, cool. If you want to say, hey, what is chartreuse? What's it adding to the drink? That's another one that we talked about earlier where people are like, what's Fontina? I don't know if I want that. Can I do that without Fontina? If you're trying to drink for the first time, try it exactly as is unless you're allergic to something. Really, though. Now, I still consider those good questions. If you want to know how something is and how it fits in what you're about to order, I'm fine with that. My issue is when people ask exhausting questions. Or another example of a good question, we talked about this earlier. If you say, I'm a vegetarian, I'm looking at this pizza here, what's soppressata? Okay, if you don't know what soppressata is, thank you for asking. Because that's very pertinent information, like we said before. If you're a vegetarian, you can't have it. Unless you're just lying to everybody and really actually eat meat. But what an exhausting question is, for example, and I'm using pizza as a parallel again, when you look at a menu item and you say, oh, I see the Supreme Pizza here. What's on it? It's right there. All the ingredients are right there. No, seriously. It's the Supreme Pizza. Read it. That's an exhausting question. Oh, you got the Meat Lover's Pizza? Yeah, it's right there. We call it the All-American. Okay, yeah, what's on it? It's right there. It's called the All-American. Read it. More on that in just a little bit. Number six. Oh, the amount of venom I might get for this conversation I'm having with you guys is, whatever. This is the world how I see it. You're welcome to dispute me. alloftheaboveradio@gmail.com. I'm off Instagram for a month. Otherwise, I would say at Hank told you so on Instagram. Or at Hank. Hey, how you doing? Number six, drinks. Partially a rant, but it's also partially a word of advice. Old fashions are boring. You can do better. Stop ordering them. If nothing else, stop ordering them at restaurants. At this point, the old fashioned, which was once a prohibition style cocktail, came back around again starting at around 2008, 2009 in the deepest of cocktail bars and has just become absolutely ubiquitous to the point where a 60-year-old woman is ordering them as quick as a 24-year-old hipster. No one is cool if you're ordering one. If you're at a restaurant. If you're at a restaurant, look at the cocktail menu because chances are every single restaurant you go to right now has a cocktail director or a lead bartender that says, we can put our own spin on an old fashioned. Let's try that. Let's do that. Let's push that. If you really want an old fashioned, and I say this based partly on the fact that the drink is so bastardized that very few people really know what it actually is supposed to taste like anymore. If you go through the old cocktail concepts of a sugar cube and bitters and a dropper of water and 36 stir twists, there is so much more that goes into the genuine craft of making an old-fashioned the way that it was once intended. Nobody knows what it tastes like anymore. Just nobody knows what it actually tastes like. If you really want one, find a genuine cocktail bar. Find a real cocktail bar that is using sugar cubes or that is using a name brand sugar versus white sugar simple syrup. You can do better than ordering an old fashioned. I'm being very serious. No one thinks you're novel if you're ordering it. And really, it's okay to admit that you don't actually like it, because it's just an okay drink at best if you're getting it in a restaurant. Really, I'm being very serious. Or at least try it a different way. Don't do whiskey. Try it with a 12-year rum. Try it with a Reposado Mezcal. Try it with tequila. And ask for it Oaxacan style. There's better, more interesting and innovative ways to get an old fashioned. But most restaurants, they're doing their own thing, and you should just go ahead and try theirs. Rant over. General. And this goes back to people being on their phones far too much. Any bartender or any server walks up to the table and says, hey, how you doing? Your answer sure as shit better not be, I'll take an iced tea. Or, hey, how you guys doing today? Coors Light. there's a very good chance you will get met with, "No, how are you today?" Or, "Nice to meet you too." The best servers and bartenders are all better than me, and they just roll right through it. And instead of choosing to recognize themselves as humans, just say, "Okay, I will go fuck myself, but I recognize the kind of service you want." I'm too old for that. 9 times out of 10, if I walk up to somebody and say, "Hey, how are you?" and they say Coors Light, I say, "That wasn't what I asked you." And that happens frequently with people on their phones also. So engulfed in their conversation that they are not present enough to say what they want. Or they think it's okay to put their phone down, like I mentioned earlier. I have no time and or space for any of them. Food! And this goes back to that conversation we were just having about exhausting questions versus good questions. If you've read the menu and ask a question, it's probably a good question. But once again, we discussed the difference. But here's my next food tip. Don't make excuses for not reading the menu. The amount of people that say, "Oh, I forgot my glasses. What kind of wine do you have?" And the first thing I say is, so what you do is you take a picture of the menu and you just go ahead and go back and look at the picture and just use your fingers to blow it up. Or if somebody says to me, "Boy, it is so dark in here," I'll look at them and say, "There is no shame in using your phone flashlight. I see people do it all the time." But this is where I tell you about my closest friend in the world. Known him since I was about 5.5 years old. He has been missing an eye since I have ever known him. And over the last couple years, he had a bad accident where the vision in his good eye is not as good as it used to be. It doesn't stop him. He takes a picture of the menu, he expands it to a point where he can see it, and he orders just fine. What in the holy hell is your excuse? Come on, people. Read the menu. And that goes double for the people that didn't give me pertinent information earlier, by the way. If you don't eat meat and something showed up with meat on it and you tell me, "Oh, I don't eat meat. I can't have this." You just absolutely killed food cost and productivity because now you're not eating anything. You just added another 10 to 15 minutes onto your food showing up. It's your fault. Okay. If you told your server or bartender that you were a vegetarian and you ordered it and they didn't tell you that it had meat on it, it's their fault too. I'm trying not to put all of this on you, but the fact of the matter is, everybody listening out there needs to have a little bit more self-awareness, and these tips are pushing you in that direction. Drinks. If the bartender / server lets you taste beer or taste wine before you buy it, don't abuse the power. It is a service that they offer you because they don't want you to send a full drink back, but it's not a way for you to get a buzz for free. Don't taste more than 3 of anything before you pay for something. And I'm actually really quite lenient about it because I want people to have the exact thing they actually want. So realistically, you shouldn't taste more than 2 things before you make a decision of something you're going to pay for. I'll say 3, but when you go out there, 2 is probably just fine. Your buzz should not come for free. Going back to that conversation about liquor costs and wine costs and beer costs and knowing what things cost and how it can all be measured. The tastes, they're measured too. It adds up. And by the way, don't be cranky if the bartender / server gives you enough beer to actually taste it. This is to entice you to buy it, not for you to get enough mouthfeel to actually enjoy it and get a full buzz off of it. You're going to get an ounce, not 5 ounces. Come on, people. general. This reminds me of an episode of How I Met Your Mother, where I think it's the chain of screaming, where one person gets yelled at, and then they find somebody who is below them on the food chain, and they yell at them, and that person finds somebody below them and on the food chain and yells at them. That's where this general rule comes from. Whatever happened before you walked in the door has nothing to do with your server or your bartender. Unless you date them, are married to them, they're your roommate. 95% of the time, whatever happened before you walked into the restaurant, it has nothing to do with the person that's serving you. Don't take it out on them. If you and your wife got in a fight, if your presentation at your job went horribly wrong, if the grocery store didn't have the right veal that you wanted, it's not the problem of the person serving you. You are not to take it out on them. It's not fair to be crappy to the person serving you food or alcohol because you had a bad day leading up to it. It's just not fair. Where are we here? So what I'm going to do is, at this moment, I'm actually going to go ahead and clip. I've given you plenty to digest in this first episode. So, actually, hold on. No, I can carry this just a little bit longer. I can carry this just a little bit longer. Nah, we won't do that. What I'm going to do here is I'm actually going to go ahead and clip this. I've given you, I've given you a lot to digest. So what we'll do is we're going to carry this over. This is going to be no less than a two-part series. There's, like I said, I started typing just in bed while my wife was asleep, and then I would go to work and think of more, and then I would talk with coworkers and think of more. So there is a lot of rules for you to be better as a guest or a restaurant attendee. And I want you to be able to digest them all. I want you to be able to have the discussion with me. I want you to be able to internalize them and figure out which of them apply to you and which of them don't apply to you, but what can make you better going into this new year or just going into the next time you eat. Who gives a crap about a New Year's resolution? I just give a crap about one restaurant visit at a time, people being just a little bit better. And that's what we're doing here. And that's what we will do next time. So we will chat about this again very soon. And soon after that. And soon after that. And soon after that. My name is Hank. A 19-year veteran of the bartending business. This has been All New, All Different, All of the Above. May there be a next time. I say till next time.